May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Easter aftermath, a new boldness. Let me ask you, if there was only one thing you could change about your life, just one now, what would it be? Well, that's a tough question, isn't it, when you think about it? One thing alone. Well, I know immediately what it would be for me. It's kind of a confession and a wish. The one thing I would change about myself is that I wish I would be bolder about my faith in Jesus. And you might be surprised by that because I'm a pastor and here I am. You know, it's easy to talk about Jesus here. You know, you're not throwing bricks at me, right? It's easy. But out there, I have this strain of reticence and being reserved, guarded, silent, if you want to term it that way, proclaiming Jesus and about my love for Jesus. And I would like to change that about myself. That would be wonderful because I see the transformation of those original disciples from fearful followers to incredibly fearless devotees of Jesus. And I want that. I want that. We all have fears of offending, fears of saying wrong things, fears of being rejected. You know, I know whenever these fears arise, I am forgetting who I am. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. And my life was joined to his life. And without him, I have every reason to fear. And with him, I have every reason for faith. You know, more and more I'm concerned that Christianity is minus Jesus. Now, let me explain. Several of you have been to other churches, and you have told me that you've heard a sermon where the name of Jesus was never mentioned. I really didn't believe you. I mean, I find this incredible. And yet, I've been reading some articles where Jesus' name is left out too. And these are articles supposedly by Christian authors. One depicts Christianity as a social justice movement to bring love and good deeds to a world and changes it that way. But never once mentioned Jesus, not once. And of course, outside of Christianity and yet appeals to many Christians, the Dalai Lama is saying that he can bring the pathway to peace and joy. And then there are kindly and loving Muslim and Hindu prophets and priests supposedly showing us the way. But can we build a reliable foundation on any of them? And doesn't our scripture contradict this? Yes, it does. You heard the Acts. It said that there's only one way, only one Savior in the world. If you would be a Christian, if you would have abundant and eternal life, there is only one foundation. There's only one name that means salvation, and that's the name of Jesus. David Platt, in his wonderful book entitled Radical, writes of an experience he has that I think relates masterfully why Jesus is the one and only Savior. So bear with me because I'm going to read a portion of this, okay? I think it's great. He writes this: I remember sitting outside a Buddhist temple in Indonesia. Men and women filled the elaborate and colorful temple grounds where they daily performed their religious rituals. Meanwhile, I was engaged to speak with a Buddhist leader and a Muslim leader in this particular community. They were discussing how all religions are fundamentally the same and only superficially different. We may have different views, one of them said, about small issues, But when it comes down to the essential issues, each of our religions is the same. David Platt says, I listened for a while, and then they asked me what I thought. And I said, well, it sounds to me as though you both picture God, or whoever you call God, at the top of a mountain. It seems you believe that we are all at the bottom of the mountain. And I may take one route up the mountain, and you may take another route up the mountain, but we all end up in the same place. They smiled and said to him, happily, exactly, you understand. Then I leaned in, I said, well, now let me ask you a question. What would you think if I told you that the God at the top of the mountain actually came down where we were? What would you think if I told you God doesn't wait for people to find their way up to him? Instead, he comes to us. And they thought for a moment and responded, well, that would be great. I replied, well, let me introduce you to Jesus. Because isn't that the gospel? God sent Jesus into the world to show us God's heart, to show us God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace, to show us the way that we can be right with him. Every other religion and philosophy says you have to do a whole lot of things. You have to do a whole lot of good works, and you have to strive and find your way up the mountain. But Christianity says no. Jesus came to do what you can't do for yourself. He came to show you the way and the truth. Every other religion or philosophy says they have the answers to the big questions of life. But Christianity says Jesus is the answer to them all. Listen, when Jesus' name is banished, when you're not able to use his name, well, what happens? Well, we see it in our modern history. Between 1917 and 1991, atheistic governments massacred about 100 million of their own people. The Soviet Union, China, North Korea, Cambodia, and there's a few others, outlawed Jesus and committed horrendous crimes against their own people. What's the point here? Outlaw, banish Jesus, and ultimately you're banishing love, the love of God. So it's not just me who needs to be bolder. It's also you. When you think about the original disciples, they weren't really trained clergy. I mean, yeah, they had great teacher and all that. But Jesus sent out 72 at one time, you know, and he said, go tell people about me, right? So it's not what God had in mind that just Pastor Travis and I proclaim Jesus, right? No, he wants all of us to be bolder. And we can because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us. Believing in Jesus leads to proclaiming Jesus. So I want you to try an experiment this week. I would like you to say the name of Jesus publicly every day this week, at least once. Now you say, well, how in the world am I going to do that? You know, I don't want you to be awkward. You're talking about baseball or basketball or whatever, the weather, and you say, yeah, and you know, Jesus came to bat. Well, I mean, that doesn't count. Doesn't count. You know. No, I don't mean that way. But how about this way? You know, people have lots of problems, You know, everybody has problems. You probably had some problems this week, right? So how about this? If you're talking with a friend, you say, hey, would you mind if I said a little prayer with you about this? And very few people will say, no, get away from me, right? You know? And so you say, Lord, car broke down and they need your help and mercy and blessing. I pray this in Jesus' name. There you go, right? There you go. Or how about this? Another way you might say Jesus' name publicly. You might say, oh my goodness, my tax refund came. And praise Jesus, it was a good timing, right? I mean, you can say that, you know, right? There's so many other ways you could say the name of Jesus, because it's not banished here. And may it never be banished here. And don't we believe it? Don't we believe in the name of Jesus, the name by which angry storms of life were stilled, the name by which bodies and minds were healed and spirits lifted, a name by which hospitals were built and schools were built and every kind of charity was established? Isn't that true? It's absolutely true. A name that causes people to love one another, to forgive one another, and to help one another. Haven't you experienced a new reality because of Jesus? Hasn't he affected the way you think about everyone and everything? Hasn't that happened? I hope it has for you, because that's what Jesus means to do in our lives. Change our whole reality. And don't we want to see Jesus-filled neighbors or Jesus-filled communities? And don't you want to see your children know the name of Jesus and know what he's like? You know, about that, I'm going back in time because now I have grandchildren, Genevieve and Hope, okay? Ages 3 and 2. What amazes me is how much they already know about Jesus. What amazes me is how the questions they ask, because we're reading Bible stories and things like that. And sure, some of it's just mimicking things that we say. But I don't know. It can come awful early. They should be hearing the name of Jesus all the time. All the time. Speak his name. And trust the Holy Spirit to convict people. You don't do it. We speak Jesus' name, who he is, and what he did for us. And then the Holy Spirit takes it from there. He'll convict people, or they won't be convicted. But we don't really do that. He does it. And do you fear people that they'll call you a fanatic, or they'll ridicule you or put you down? You know what? I don't think that's going to happen. Not here. Not in Knoxville. You know, they may think you're odd. But more than enough people will think, man, he cares for me. She cares for me. You know, if you do a prayer with them about something like that. I don't think you're going to face much. And what if you do? What if you face some ridicule or what is with you, you know? You know, just smile and know this. You have the love of Jesus in your heart. And that's more important than anything. There's no other name by which we can be saved. So let the name of Jesus always be on your lips. In his name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.